The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Never miss a show. Take us with you 24 hours a day. Go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com. Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
My guest is Daniel Guss. His free publication is at DanielGuss.substack.com. Two S's in Guss. And you can follow him on Twitter at The Guss Report. Now known as X, by the way, Twitter. Thank you, Daniel Guss, for being with us as we talk politics in Los Angeles.
Thanks for having me back, Larry. I really appreciate it.
All right. Now, nothing's official till 38 days after the election, the way we do things now. But let's talk about De Leon, who had himself a bit of a controversy in a couple years ago in recorded audio sessions, not necessarily what he said himself, but let it be said. But the question becomes, okay, he gets challenged for his L.A. City Council race, and only in Los Angeles could your opponent potentially be worse than you, being some sort of a socialist? What's this story?
Kevin De Leon, who was in the room during the infamous Nury Martinez racism scandal, which included Gil Cedillo and the head of the L.A. County Federation of Labor, Ron Herrera. And De Leon was basically being punished because he, for the most part, he had a couple of naughty things that he said, but he also didn't stand up to the others who said more vicious things about a colleague's child. And now he's up for reelection, and he's facing Isabel Jurado, who is a tenants' rights attorney, and who is endorsed by the Democratic Socialists of America. So it's quite the conundrum going on in Council District 14 with very big ramifications for the entire city.
Is this caused by low voter turnout? You don't have to have that big a group to organize for somebody, and you can clean up in these elections, right?
Right, exactly. We are just apathetic about primaries. And people tend to be preoccupied with their day-to-day responsibilities without realizing that a low voter turnout is when their one vote is at its strongest. And you look at a group like the Democratic Socialists of America, which is very well organized. Whether or not you agree with their views, they are very well organized. And in a low voter turnout primary, they can take advantage of the low turnout and get their leading candidate into a runoff, which is what they've done now with Isabel Jurado versus Kevin De Leon in the fall, if things end as they are now.
And then there's Nithya Raman. Let's talk about a council member who, in this particular situation, is under some criticism for the handling of the homeless encampments. And it brings up the phrase that I didn't know what it meant until you explained it to me, whack-a-mole. Let's explain that story.
Yeah, whack-a-mole is basically an old-school carnival game where there's all sorts of holes in a wooden board, and the person who's playing the game has a big mallet, and they're supposed to hit the gopher or the mole on the head when they poke their head up out of one of those 12 or more holes in the board. And so basically with Council District 4, Nithya Raman, the incumbent, won with the thinnest of margins, about 400 votes, against Ethan Weaver, who was a mainstream Democrat and a deputy city attorney, who really didn't put in, as far as I can tell, the maximum effort to win in a race that was really handed to him on a silver platter. Now, your audience should know, Larry, that while Ethan Weaver did make a concession speech last week saying that he didn't believe he had enough votes remaining to win, a concession speech is not legally binding. So if it turns out there's a flurry of votes in excess for Ethan Weaver, they may very well wind up in a November runoff. But as of right now, it appears Nithya Raman, who oversees homeless policy for the entire city of Los Angeles, even though she only represents one of the 15 districts, there are tremendous ramifications for quality of life in Los Angeles in this race.
Now, the walkable comment comes with homeless encampments in her district that, through Karen Bass as well, are attempted to be cleaned up, and then they pop up again a few days later, right?
Exactly. And Karen Bass is in federal court last week because a federal judge said she needed to get a certain number of the homeless people off the streets by a certain date. And there are big questions now as to whether or not she's allocating that money effectively. The answer is that these homeless camps are there one day, gone the next, and they will come back maybe a few hundred feet away within a few days or a few weeks. So that's the whack-a-mole analogy that we've been hearing.
And, of course, Bass, in relation to that, has agreed to and is proposing for the judge an independent audit. Watch out. Watch out when you ask for something that's independent, right? An audit of the various homeless programs. Some things may not look so good. Well, thanks for your time. His free publication is at danielgus.substack.com. The two S's in Gus, by the way. You can also follow him on Twitter or X, the same thing, at The Gus Report. Thank you so much for being with us, and we will see you next time.
You got it, Larry. Thanks for having me back.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Moreno.
Steve Frank is publisher of California Political News and Views, and he joins us to talk, well, politics from California perspective. And Steve, thank you for joining us once again.
Always glad to be with you, Larry.
You've got a story for us having to do with the new employees in the state. Job growth numbers being revised, not so good after all. Tell us this story.
Well, the governor has, like a Democrat, tries to embellish the truth. So for 22-23 year, the governor claimed that California gained over 300,000 new employees. But after the revisions were made, that 300,000 turned out to be 50,000. But when you look at the 50,000, you find that some of those are people holding two jobs. Most of them are low-wage jobs, and a large number are illegal aliens who shouldn't be holding jobs in the first place. All of that leads to the fact that California has an unemployment rate of 5.1%. The federal unemployment rate nationally is 3.6%. We are one of the highest unemployment states in the nation, but the governor running for president is crowing about the 300,000 jobs he created in 1 year, which didn't exist.
Well, I missed that in his, he didn't give it, did he? He delayed his State of the State address, didn't he? Have you noticed that? On a late Friday evening, he puts out an advisory. It was supposed to be last Monday, but I guess with numbers like that and with the hole in the budget that he needs to fill, things wouldn't be so good to get up there and crow right now. Right.
But he gave a reason that he wanted to wait to give the state of the state address until after the votes were counted for Proposition 1. Well, that's nice to know, but what does that have to do with the state of the state? There's something else behind this, because waiting for an election result on a ballot proposition is nothing to crow about when you want to stop the state of the state. Yep. There's something else going on.
Well, he's got a slight few extra votes on his side on this Proposition 1. They've spent $6 million to push it, but it ain't popular because it's so close. And in fact, did you see the story that both sides are reactivating their efforts to fight for this thing or against it? That they thought it was a done deal, but it may not be, so it continues on. Here's a story for you. Let's talk fires. Unhoused fires in our community. This week we learned that a restaurant in the San Fernando Valley was set on fire, and security video shows that homeless people, let me correct that, unhoused people started it. One of the owners says that if a Good Samaritan hadn't rushed over to put the fire out, things could have been a lot worse.
It was right next to our offices, our grease trap, and also where we store our propane tanks. We're lucky that it really wasn't a lot more serious.
One of the owners says homeless people, or the unhoused, have increasingly been targeting her business with break-ins, vandalism, and now fire.
I'm very upset and frightened that this is even happening.
And she's not alone. A lot of businesses are reporting recent break-ins and people setting up warming fires in their parking lot. What's going on in this wonderful golden state of California?
Well, in Los Angeles, last year we had a whole series of fires underneath the freeway, and in fact closed down the freeway because of the fires. The city wanted to clean out the encampment, and it took 5 months for government agencies to create the permits and the courts to allow the cleaning out of the encampments to stop the fires to save the freeway from being closed again. 5 months of bureaucratic garbage in order to do what should have been done just immediately and without asking the court's permission to protect the freeway and protect private property.
Mm. Talk about timely, you know, in 5 months to get those permits. All right, let's talk wages, and let's talk the $20 an hour fast food worker industry. You know, you and I know that, you know, that was pushed through by the unions, the concept of getting the 20-hour base, and some of the businesses already have, you know, cut back and trimmed people to try to make up for it. You know, get ready for that $15 burger, fry, and a Coke. It's going to go up. A world that has gone crazy where politicians think that just by raising the floor, that solves everything in the fast food industry, as opposed to creating another round of inflation. How about that? And then we all can't afford that, and it's a vicious cycle. Steve Frank, thank you so much. Publisher of California Political News and Views. We'll talk to you next time.
Have a great day.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.
That's our show for this week. To hear Sunday Morning Newsmakers anytime, go to SundayMorningNewsmakers.com. That's SundayMorningNewsmakers.com, and listen online. I'm Larry Marino. We'll see you next week for Sunday Morning Newsmakers.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.